How about that? There we go. Right.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. Thank you for your kind words, and thank you for the opportunity to minister with you. And it's good to see the morning tea. That's the only reason I came this morning. And I got asked if I thought there was enough food. I'll let you know. It's all right. But thank you so much. It's been really great for Faith and I to be able to share in ministry with you. And as I've said to a number of people, one of the things that's just so heartening for me is to see the work of God through a number of successive people and groups of people over the decades in this place. And it's just so encouraging to see what God has been doing here at Tincan Bay, Kalula Cove, in this community. And I want to encourage you. Looking forward to Pastor John and Karen coming back tomorrow, back on deck. I was going to say I've already handed my keys in, but I forgot them. So I'll give them to John. But it has been a real privilege and a pleasure. Some of you have asked, what are we doing next? And it was just alluded to a little bit. If I could just say very quickly, in mid-May or the latter part of May, April, just as well, I've got a travel agent. we're going to Lesbos in Greece, which some of you may know is one of the most messed up refugee camps in the world. Greece and Italy really go through the mill because of the flow of refugees that come over, because it's like it's not much further than Fraser Island to come across. So the camp there was designed for about 3,000 people. There's about 18,000 there and overflowing, and there's hundreds coming each day. And that's through the winter season. So it's one of those situations. Faith and I don't often feel like this, but we just go, oh my goodness. But we're going to support the primary work we'll be doing, supporting the workers who are working there. So be praying for that. If you'd like to know more and you'd like to particularly be praying for us, let us know, and we'll put you in the loop with that. But just be praying for us and for the situation. Someone said to me, how do you see it working out? I've got no idea, and all we're doing, I was just sitting there thinking about it, and I thought, this is like the New Testament church, It's like in the Roman Empire. The place was falling apart, They didn't have any answers for it. All they did was what we can do out of what we've got, when we can, to whom we can, and let's do that, And in time, God over, the decades brought that work into a fruition where the church had a voice because of that witness. So I don't know the detail. All I know is we're going to try and do what we can out of what we got, in that situation. So anyway, that's us for that. But again, just thank you for having us here. It's been a tremendous privilege to be here. I want to share some parting thoughts this morning that may be of some encouragement to you. In case you haven't noticed, we've been looking at the book of Philippians. Good. Great. All right, you got that bit. That's great. So thank you. Okay, it's a letter. Okay, and it's a love letter. Okay, it's not really a theological letter. The theology comes from the practice, not the other way around. Okay, and it's as people see God working and experience God working, they go, oh, we can see some patterns, and that's the way that it should be working. So Paul was in jail, he wrote to Philippi. And Philippi, you remember, was what sort of a colony? What sort of a city? Roman. Okay, it was under Rome. Okay, and that was the context that the people were living in, and that was the context in which they were working out their salvation. And remember, one of the themes of Philippians, one of the encouragements is work out your own salvation, okay? Which doesn't mean work for it, okay? It doesn't mean create it. It means you have it, work it out. You've already got it. You're already that. Work that out in your, you know, in your life. Let it take fruition. Let it develop in you and work out from you in that. And that's so important for us. It's working out that which is done in you and Christ in you, okay? That's God's purpose from eternity. We saw is that we may be indwelt by the nature of Christ. So you should be able to, as you're following Jesus and he's done that work in you, okay, and he's put his nature in you, somewhere, somehow, sometime, you should be able to go, ah, that's Jesus in me. Something's happening, I'm doing something, I have an attitude, something, which is Jesus in me. And to encourage that and to grow in that. And the goal is to become more and more like Jesus, okay, in that. Now, some of that is, yes, I do the things that Jesus does, all right? But part of that is I do those things to encourage the nature of Christ in me, to feed that which is already there. We can get caught in the side which goes, well, I have to do it all. I have to live a particular way, you know? And okay, we're imitating Christ in that sense, but if that's all there's something missing, all right? Just like if we go, oh, well, Jesus is in me and, you know, he's going to do it all, okay? And I'm sitting there and you go, it's the two things together. It's like the scaffolding on a building, right? The scaffolding isn't the building, but it can help the building to come into being in there, all right? So it's that sort of thing there. So we see the things that we see Jesus doing, being, the attitudes he has, his attitude to life, his attitude to his Father, to everything in the New Testament. We go, okay, that's what I'm looking for in me, and that's what's possible in me, right? It's not that's what I'm failing at. When I look at Jesus, I go, hey, that's what's possible because I have Christ's nature in me, okay? And that's the potential that's there. And so I can go, okay, Lord, I want to work with you to bring that about, to let that have full, you know, flow in my life as I go along there, okay? And Christ's purpose for us, it's not just the Sunday, it's being like Jesus, it's not just the Sunday theory, okay? But it's the Monday to Saturday. If you want to know where you're at with Jesus, right, don't think about where you are on Sunday morning. Think about where you are on Monday morning. You know, in the office, at the workshop, you know, with the neighbours, at school, with the family, okay? I know that, you know, most of you have got wonderful families and everything's really good through your extended family, you know? It's just my family that's wacko, all right? And they have to deal with me in that. But, you know, probably some of you understand what I'm saying, that, you know, some of the places where God calls us to minister, okay, is to those who are actually in our world, right next to us, to our husbands, to our wives, to our children. I would hate to, you know, go through my life and go, oh, what a hero. You know, I've done all these great things here and yet have failed my wife, you know, in that. Our kids, what does that mean? Did I want them to be perfect? No, but I need to be doing all that I can to let Jesus work in me and through me as much as possible, and especially in those areas there. You know, I know that you people, I mean, I can see from the morning tea, you think I'm just a wonderful, lovely guy. You should talk to my wife. Okay? And, you know, next to the Lord, the person that I would be happiest with to be impressed with me in any sort of way is this woman here, okay? Apart from the fact that she's smart, I know she married me. Well, you know, you can't get it right all the time, but that's all right. But, you know, she sees me as I really am. So it's in that Monday to Saturday where we become, no, what's that doing up there? Well, leave it there, it's all right, okay? That we need to do that. And we live in a challenging world, okay? So here we have the opportunity. Now, there's a good description for the lives of the majority of those early Christians we talked about, and it's in that there. Some of you who's been the Boys Brigade, been part of Boys Brigade, you'll know that's the Boys Brigade motto there, okay? And the motto, and it contains a wording from the Bible, okay, from Hebrews, which we picked up on. We'll have a look at it in a minute there. But it's also the wording of one of what I consider the great hymns that we have there. And thanks. It's a hymn written in 1882 by Priscilla Owens, okay, and it talks about the idea of the anchor for our soul, you know, will your anchor hold? And I like this hymn because of the way that the truths it puts forward, of the truths it puts forward, but the way it puts them forward. And there's lessons for us in that. It uses images from the period which everyone would have related to in that hymn, an almost unconscious way, okay, images of the sea and ships and storms and cables and chains and anchors and tides and waves and storms, okay. And it's a tremendous example of how to put as much of the truth of the Bible in as easily accessible wording to the people of that particular, you know, time and place and context there in an accurate way as possible. But it's also a continuing challenge for us, okay, and also a witness that in the work of the kingdom, the speaker is the hearer's servant. The speaker is the hearer's servant. The provider is the recipient's servant. The provider is the recipient's servant. That's not the way it is in the world. The provider is the one that makes the recipient dependent on them, because that maintains power over them. Okay, so a lot of our provision in the world that happens for us is for the benefit of the provider. Okay, marketing, you know, all our whole retail thing is on that basis there. But quite often it's that way with us also. You know, if I have a particular skill, I'll help you with that skill, but you owe me. You know, you owe me. I'm collecting you in that. Okay, and that's not the way. And this, the way that this hymn is worded, is a tremendous example of, you know, who am I here? Is what's a way that will make sense to them, that's helpful for them to hear the word, you know, in the form that's handy there. It's a challenge for us. Jesus became a human and brought heavenly truth in a form that humans could understand. What a challenge. Yeah, what an incredible challenge to do that. You know, if you think about what is it, where did Jesus come from? You know, what did he know in that sense? You know, what did he give away? And he became a human being. You know, it tells us in Scripture that all that stuff, all the heaven stuff where it came from, it says, eye has not seen or ear heard or you and me can't even imagine all of that which is waiting for us there. You know, it's totally out of our imagination in that, you know. And yet Jesus left that, left all of that and came. Gives you a bit of an idea, doesn't it, of the servant heart of Jesus there. And there's that picture for us there. Now, it's interesting, just continuing on with that hymn, it's got two titles that it often goes by. So it's called, you know, if you look it up, you see, will your anchor hold? But also we have an anchor, and it's interesting that that reflects two parts of the hymn. It says it's a challenge to us. What's your anchor? Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? But it also, in the midst of all that, says we do have an anchor. We do have an anchor in the midst of all these things here. And it's an interesting way of doing it. In there, just want to quickly, very quickly go through the wording of it, just quickly there, okay? Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when clouds unfold their wings of strife, strong tides lifting, cable strain, your anchor drift or firm remain? You know, the storm that we go through life, you know, you and I as Christians, I often say, we swim in the same sea as everybody else. We live in the same circumstances as everyone else. I'm not better than any of you or any other, or any non-Christian. I'm better off, but I'm not better than them. And I face the same things: health, education, food, money. I mean, I'm doing well. You know, food's a problem. You can see I'm starving. But, you know, apart from that, I'm trying to get Faith to kind of help me out a bit, but she won't buy into it. So, but I'll fix it up later. It's all right. But we face the same issues, you know, and this gives us common ground. Don't beat people over the head. Think about the things that you and I are facing and recognise my neighbour is facing similar things, you know, and it's a point of identity with them. And what I should be able to do, okay, is not so much go, you shouldn't this or you shouldn't that, you shouldn't blah, 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 blah. It's go, hey, that issue you're facing, I face that. And this is what Jesus has done in me or is doing in me or is working on me, you know? It doesn't have to be complete. Sometimes I learned halfway through my life to kind of risk a little bit going, saying, I haven't got it all together on that. And Jesus is working on me in that, you know? Which is very hard for a Greek to do, you know, because to say that you haven't got it all together. But then it goes on, I think it says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. And we're going to have a look at those words. They're tremendous words. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. And the song goes on and covers a lot of things there. The straits of fear when breakers roar and the reef is near. When the tide, the surges rave, the winds blow, the angry waves. Thanks. Okay. The floods of death, you know, when the waters cold chill your latest breath, the rising tide, okay, on the rising tide you can never fail while your anchor holds within the veil. And those words again refer to Hebrews there. Okay, go, thank you. And again, thanks. We have an anchor. We have an anchor that keeps the soul. And I want you in your mind to think of an anchor, right? To think of an anchor at the end of a chain, okay? And to feel that when it's taken hold, all right? We've been on houseboat holidays and we can feel the anchor because I've thrown it out, you know, whatever, and I can feel it all night dragging. And Faith is going, we're going to end up in New Zealand. Yeah. But it's not like that. But, you know, you have that feel. There's an anchor when it bites and you go, it's there, you know. It's just solid in there. And that's the sort of idea that's being put there, okay. And in Hebrews 6, where it comes from, we read that passage there, all right. And it talks about the promises God has made, the unchanging nature of his purpose. You know, we have an amazing God. I mean, God is God. You know, if God wanted to be cranky or be nasty or whatever, you and I couldn't do a thing about it, okay? Because that's God. God is. And God does whatever jolly well pleases him when he wants to, all right? And sometimes that's very disconcerting for you and me, all right? Because it's very disconcerting to be in the presence of somebody who doesn't have to anything at all. And you know that you and I can feel very vulnerable. But God has chosen. No one's forced him. No one's forced him to do any of the stuff he does, which also means, you know what? No one can force him to not do it. He will do what he's decided to do. And the tremendous thing is that he has decided to create us in love, and he loves us, and his love is solid. Not because he can't love, but because he will love. He chooses to, okay? And it's an amazing thing. And we have this promise, Hebrews tells us, okay? And, and we can take hold of it, of the hope offered to us, and be greatly encouraged. And so in 6:19, we've got it there, okay? We have this hope as the anchor for the soul. Your soul, are you aware of your soul? Okay, we're not going to go into metaphysics. That's the you, that's the real you. There's a you that is, your body's important, but it's not just your body. You know, if I sit there and I chop my hand off, I'm still here. If I chop my arm off, I'm still here. Okay, and I chop both arms off, I'm still here. I'm still here, right? In that, right? My soul, me, is included in a part of, but is separate to my physical existence. Your soul, the you, okay, this is what we're talking about. It's about that being firm and secure. Now, I just want to very quickly just touch on those two words there, okay? The firm, okay, is the word asphalos, okay, which means unfailing, okay? It cannot fail, okay? This is the hope that we have. It cannot fail, all right? In that, and the second, that's the firm part, the word secure is vasis, okay, which is vasis, it says in Greek. Now, can you think of an English word that is based on that? Basis, yes, we have some Greek scholars, terrific. Okay, basis, there you go. Okay. I tricked you, didn't I? Okay. That's our word, the basis, and it's this thing that's this rock that we walk on, this thing that we walk on that is firm, that is secure, and that can be stood on. It's a little bit like, you know, the person that built the house on the sand, person that built it on the rock. Okay, that sort of thing is we can stand on it and we're absolutely secure. And this is the anchor we have. It's an unfailing, rock-solid connection. Okay, in that. Okay, keep going. Okay, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Now, what's that referring to? Most of you would have an idea that it's referring to the temple, and the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, was the place where God manifested once a year, okay, in there, and that was that special place that only the high priest could go into, had the curtain in front of it, okay, and that was the presence of God. However, this here is not talking about that sanctuary that was in Jerusalem, that the temple that was representative. It's talking about the reality that was a shadow of. It's talking about the very presence of God. Our hope is anchored, if you can imagine this chain going to the very presence of God. Okay? That's where this is locked into. That's where this hope is locked into the very presence in absolute truth, okay, of God. It's not where we have been, it's where we're going. I want you to think about that. It's not something in the past or the present. It's in the present and into the future. It is where we are headed to as those who are followers of Jesus and believers in Christ. Now, into the very presence of God, it's as though there's a chain there that's locked into that, and we're locked into that, okay? And we're drawn into that. And this is important for us to understand in that. It's where Jesus has gone before. And then in verse 20, thank you. Okay, Jesus who went before us has entered there on our behalf. Now, that's a little bit, you know, and I know, it's not there's a problem, but translation has issues, you know. When you translate something from one language to another, you're going to give and take, and, you know, so you need to have some thinking. So in that version there about Jesus who went before us, it's easy to miss out the feel of it, okay? And the feel of it is this, that word there is Jesus as our scout. I think the King James says they're a forerunner. Okay, and that's okay, but it's the idea of a scout. Now, if you're with a group, okay, and there's a scout who's going ahead, what is the understood thing about what the group's going to do? The whole business is geared on, right? It's about following on. A scout doesn't just go, oh, I think I'll go for a walk here, you know, have a bit of a look around and have a drink, find a Coke machine, you know, and have a drink and then come back. No. The purpose of a scout, and that's what this word is, okay, is the one who goes before with the purpose of others coming in there, is making a way for us to go. Are you kind of picking up what's going on here? Okay, we are locked into the presence of God up ahead, and Jesus has gone so that we can follow in there. That's where we're heading. Our whole life right now as followers of Jesus is based on where we are now with Jesus and where we're headed. It's not about where we've been. Okay, it's about where we are and where we're heading is the main thing. He's our forerunner, our scout with that intention there. And then, okay, we've got he became a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Okay, so in the Bible, Melchizedek is the high priest. What's the high priest? The priest is the representative of God to people, and the people to God. Okay? So there was a priestly function, which was people who God had set aside to be his representatives to the people and to represent the people to him. So they talked to the people about God, and they talked to God about the people in there. Okay? We have become, as a Christians, because we have the Holy Spirit, we have Christ's nature in us, we are now a kingdom of priests. Okay? The priesthood of all believers. So I don't stand here as a pastor, as a priest. Okay? In the Greek Orthodox Church or some of the other churches, that function still remains. Okay? But here, okay, I'm not here as a priest. Okay? I'm not here to represent you to God and God to you. You don't have to come to God through me. Okay? I may use the gifts God has given to help you connect with God. But it's not, you don't have to come to God through me. You with me on that? Okay? But the high priest, okay, Melchizedek was a kind of a forever high priest, is a picture of there. But Jesus is our high priest, the key priest, forever. The word forever is absolute permanence. It's that idea of eternal. Okay? It's unchangeable. He's done that function. He's it. That's it. And he is the only one that represents me before God, you know, and connects me to God. And this is let me give you just one of the implications of this, right? When I walk down the street and people see me and go, what sort of a Christian are you? You know, you this, this, that, and the other. You know, I told you when I first said to some of my friends in Moresby about my non-Christian friends about going to Bible college, one of them literally fell on the ground laughing. You know, and said, you? What can I tell you? with that. And, you know, sometimes I understand that, because sometimes I look at myself and sometimes, you know, I get accused by Satan, I get, you know, whatever. Here's the thing. If that ever happens to you as a Christian, and when it happens to me, I've learned to do this. You're right. I'm with him. I'm with him. Okay? And if he doesn't want me, I'm cactus. Done. However, here's the thing. Jesus says, he's with me. Because of me? No, because of him. Because he has put his nature in me. I am now part of his family. You know, Jesus didn't use the words, the picture, born again, accidentally. It was because it was this idea, I'm putting my nature into you. God's nature is coming into us. And so we have this thing where we are part of that. We are anchored together, okay? And Jesus is our permanent lock-in to that. He's the one who makes all this possible, okay, in that. Let's just put it together a little bit, okay? We are anchored forward into the Holy of Holies, into God himself, okay? This is a future orientation, okay? Every investment, you have to think about it, okay? Every investment is about the future, okay? It's about predicting an outcome, and if it's going to be favorable, I lock into that for the future. We are locked into an investment for our souls. It's about the future, and that's what gives meaning to the present. You need to understand this, okay? You need to try and get as much of a hold of this as you can. Otherwise, I find when I lose touch with that, I get diverted. I get sidetracked. Okay? It's so important for us to get a hold of that. It's a future orientation. Here's the question for us. What are you and I really working towards? What are you and I investing our time, our energy, our effort towards? Okay? Is it worth it in the long run? And you know what? There's only that, the long run, because the long run gets shorter every day. The long run's actually not that long. It won't be that long tomorrow. Okay? So here's the thing is, where are we investing our life? Now I'd like to say to you, you know, yeah, well, look, I sorted all that out, you know, and I've got my life invested in Christ, and that's it. Ta-da! It For me, it doesn't quite work that way, okay? For me, I've got to daily do that. I've got to daily remind myself, you know, where's the investment? Who's the one in me? So I make choices every day. I can get into a habit, but nonetheless, I still have to make the choice, okay, to focus on that future that is there. Where are you anchored to? Parents here? Okay, all right, you'll be sorry you put your hand up. What are you teaching your kids about where they should be anchoring their life, where they should be investing their life? Children pick it up, okay? They pick it up. You go, oh, I've got to make sure I tell them this, this, and this. No, you probably do, but you're far better off living it. Make sure you're living it. They'll pick up, you know, and there's something there to explain. Grandparents, same thing, okay? Neighbors, workmates, pastors, ministry team leaders, fellow Christians, where are you investing your life? Okay, where are you investing it? Now, I have coming up, you need to be ready for this, a great work of art that I did, especially for this morning. Okay, fantastic, don't you? Okay, just throw money. Okay, so this is just in case you are not artistic, okay? This is two shorelines and two boats, right? And the water, sitting on the lake. Now, which side of the lake are the boats anchored to, all right? You and I don't know. The fish knows. You see the fish? It's a fantastic. Oh, and so a really quick little story. When I was in Bible college, okay, we had, one of the first assignments to do was a map of the Mediterranean, you know, the Holy Land and, you know, the Mediterranean, all the islands and everything else. And one of my mates spent days on this, right? So I knocked this very abstract one up and I painted fish in there, okay? And I handed it in. And I got better marks than him and he never forgave me. So the fish were a bit like that, you know, he was really dirty on me. But yeah, the fish knows, all right? What's the fish see? Fish sees what maybe you and I don't see. The boats can be sitting together. The boats can look as though they're very similar, in a very similar position, in a very similar location, but can be anchored to completely different points. And until the wind comes, until the tide comes, until a storm comes, until some sort of disturbance, challenge, whatever comes, you may not be able to tell which side the boats are anchored to. We can be anchored to Jesus, we can be anchored to the world, or a combination of that. When we face those storms and when the tides come and when those things come, you know, that's the time to look at ourselves. And we can look at ourselves. It's an opportunity to go, where am I anchored? Because the boat will drift towards where it's anchored. Okay? I just say to you again, please don't get distressed or caught in, oh, I'm either this or this, you know, in that. You know, we can be, you know, illustrations are only illustrations. But the point is this, can we be moving more towards being more anchored into Jesus day by day? And as each instance comes up, it's an opportunity to reflect and to think and to go, I'm going to choose, you know, to move over this way. And the more times I choose, the more it becomes a bit of a habit. And the more it becomes a habit, it can grow, okay? You will never, ever, 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 ever do it all automatically in this world. There will always be a choice, okay? But we can train ourselves in those habits there, okay? Life is a lot about shifting our anchors from one side to the other, increasing the amount that we're anchored in Jesus, okay, and moving that, Okay, sometimes we know it in theory and we go, okay, I'm going to put it into practice, you know. It can be a gradual thing. Sometimes people don't like saying, you know, oh, it can be a gradual thing. You know, because they go, well, you can then make an excuse if I'm working on it. Okay, you and I know when we're making excuses, you know. Most of you here look pretty intelligent. Anyway, anyone within my sight is looking pretty intelligent. And I reckon that you know when you're playing games and when you're not. And if you don't, ask the Lord to show you. He will. Trust me. He will. It's better that you work it out a little bit, yeah, beforehand, all right? So this is the thing here. So the question we have is, okay, where are we anchored? It makes a huge difference to how we live our lives, okay? If we're anchored in Jesus, we have a security that gives us a humility that changes the whole way we respond and relate. And by humility, remember what we said? Humility is not saying, you know, oh, I'm no good and, you know, whatever. Humility is going, this is where I am, okay? And also, it's looking towards the other person. And how can I contribute into the other person's life? Remember, that's what Jesus did. Humbled himself. Took on the form of a man. What's that mean? It means he put priority towards those he was reaching out to. Towards those he was ministering to. Now, if you, you know, kind of say that, there'll be things that change in your life. We use our gifts as one of the things. We'll use them for the benefit of others. Okay, now you go, well, of course we do. Well, yes and no. Okay, not necessarily so. Some years ago, Faith and I found ourselves, after having pastored some churches and preached for quite a while, we spent quite a bit in a new ministry and a life situation, which meant we were in the pew more than in the pulpit, if you know what I mean, okay, in that. So over those years, this is back a while, when I started doing that, you know, after having been preaching for a while, and I was sitting in the pew, and one of the things that happened to me is I started listening and going through services, I was thinking, oh my goodness, is this what I'm putting people through? It was a shocker. It was a shocker. It wasn't a Tinkham Bay Community Church or any church in Gympie. It was down in New South Wales. Yeah, explain. Yeah, no. But here was the interesting thing as I reflected on it. I thought, you're kidding me, you know? And what it was, it wasn't really primarily about, you know, styles of preaching or content or music or things like that. The core thing when I looked at it and I started to reflect and think about myself was this. And I had been doing it, okay? I was up in the pulpit and I was having a great time. I was talking about what interested me and, you know, I was having a ball, you know? And some of the people in the congregation. And when I was sitting in the pews, I started seeing it. Nyong, nyong, nyong. And I thought, oh, goodness me. Now, here's the thing. I'll use myself as a pastor, as a preacher, all right? If I don't come up here and I don't get my jollies from here, right? If I don't get my satisfaction and enjoyment and everything else from here, and others, and I don't preach primarily for my satisfaction, where do I get my kicks from, you know? You know the song? What about me? It isn't fair. I want my share. You're just trying to stop me singing, I know. Where do we get our share from as Christians? Okay? If you're going to get it from the other people that you're ministering to, you're going to do damage to them and to you. You need to be getting it from Jesus. And it does come from Jesus as we grow to be anchored in him, and then I can enjoy it. But what I do is I go, what is the need here? How can I fulfill this need? How can I do what's helpful here? All right? Now, means I don't get to play with, you know, the original Greek language as much as I'd like to. But That's actually a good thing because my Greek grammar's not that good. But you know what I mean? So when we're connected to Jesus, that frees us up to minister to others for their benefit, to use our gifts in a way that fits them, okay? In fact, not to force our gifts on people at all, but as I've said before, is we get to a point where we grow in the capacity to go, here's my gift, it's on the table for you if you want it. You don't have to actually pick it up. You don't have to actually avail yourself of it. But where do I get my affirmation from? Where do I get my sense of achievement from, my sense of fulfillment from? I get it from Jesus. I get it from Jesus, okay? And sometimes he gives it to me through the encouragement of others and things like that, but that's not the main source. You with me? Okay? And so what happens is when we see ourselves as anchored to Jesus, we can afford, just like Jesus did, right, to give, not to necessarily expect, not to need. Okay? Jesus said, my food is to do my Father's will. He wasn't kidding about that. That's why he could say, no, we're moving on now. Yeah? That's why he could keep that happening. So for us, gives us that sense of being connected to Christ. Okay, in that. When we understand who we are in Christ and what we already have, we can afford to offer others our gifts if they can be of use. Okay? Remember last week, was it? You ought to, you know, soon touchy. Those appear when I'm wanting something back this way. That's when I know I'm getting a wrong thing, and when I start feeling that, you know. Oh, why aren't you appreciating me, you know? I made you a nice cup of coffee. But it's a process. And Paul goes on and he says, forgetting in Philippians chapter 3, okay, he says, forgetting what lies behind, I reach forward. See that forward again? I'm reaching forward to that which I have already got and letting it draw me, letting pull me into where I belong, okay? It's not dragging me, okay? It's not really primarily getting away from these things in the past, all right? It's actually I'm going forward. I'm being drawn forward. Some of the things in the past I'll be able to deal with and I need to get them right. You know what? You're not going to fix everything. Doesn't mean you shouldn't try. Just accept the fact there are some things you're not going to be able to fix from your past. Okay? They'll get dealt with. They'll get, you know, healed and fixed up. But you just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes locked onto him. And he says, I press on toward the goal. Listen to those words. Toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And that word called is the word invited, kaleo, okay? The word church, the word ecclesia, okay, is in the same family as that word called, the ones who have been invited together. And Jesus has invited you and me. Jesus is drawing you and me, okay? Lock on to that. Paul says all of us who are mature, who are growing, should take a view of these things. If you don't get it yet, he says, or you think differently, God will make it clear to you. Just live up to what we have already attained. What is it that you know? Do that. Do that. Okay? Reach out. Reach ahead to what Jesus has for you, to where you belong. Okay? To where you're locked in at home. You know, as we go through life, we are heading home. We are heading home. Keep that in mind. Keep it in mind. That is true. We're going to take a moment just to... The team has put together a... thanks, can we just flick that? The team has put together a little clip for us, and it's some of the verses of that of the hymn, Will Your Anchor Hold? What I'd like you to do is just as we're playing that, and I think the words will come up on the screen, is just take some time to reflect on where is your anchor? What is it that you are locked into in your life? Okay? And maybe it'll help you to just, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's my next step? What is it that you have for me now? Can we have that? Thanks. Heavenly Father, I just want to commit each one here, Lord, to you this morning. Lord, our hope is in you. We thank you that you are totally trustworthy. We thank you for the eternal, permanent security that we have that is based not on what we have done, but what you have done. And we thank you that you, as we trust you and commit ourselves to you at that point, you put your nature into us, and Lord, you work with us to build the image of Christ in us. Father, help us each one to partner with you in that. Father, help us to be an encouragement to each other. And Lord, help us to support one another as we do that, as we continue to grow in that way. We thank you for the work that is happening in each one here and through people here in this community here. We thank you for John and Karen, and we thank you for their part in this. We thank you for the people who are away this morning and their part in it. And Father, I pray for this community here of people who are followers of Jesus, that as they lock into you more and more and continue to stay locked into you, that you will work in them and through them to continue to touch this community. We thank you there are so many places in your word that you talk about this idea of you being the cornerstone, of being built on you, of you being the one that we can rest on in the unchanging grace of God. In every high and stormy gale, our anchor holds because it is your anchor that you have given us. We thank you and praise you for that. Lord, bless this group of your people here. Bless them each one individually and together, and continue to glorify your name through them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.